All right, BradCooney.com would like to welcome to the show music recording artist Shalisa James. What is up, Shalisa?
Hey there, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm doing pretty good. You doing all right? You staying healthy and away from the coronavirus and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Doing great down here in sunny Florida.
Hey, I was going to ask you where you're calling from. So you live in Florida?
Orlando, yep.
Nice. Born and raised in Florida. Are you a Floridian or a transplant?
Yes, I'm a true Floridian.
Wow.
Born and raised.
You guys are like a rare commodity here, here lately.
We are, and it's kind of fun because Orlando, like the scene in Orlando is so that it's grown up so much around, like, when I was growing up, it's gotten bigger too. So, like, Disney World was around, like, literally by my first birthday is when Disney was built.
Wow.
And so I've gotten to see a lot of changes. When I was in high school, I was at Dr. Phillips High, where people like Wayne Brady and a lot of the NSYNC guys went, and I actually looked out the window and watched Universal Studios being built.
Isn't that something?
So it's kind of cool to have grown up in Orlando during this time, because it certainly isn't the Orlando of my childhood.
Right. And I can remember when I'm from upstate New York originally. And I remember growing up, like, everybody in my neighborhood, like, just about everybody had, like winter houses in Florida. So it was like half the New York population was down there during the winter time.
It's a great place to be. You know, it's like, even today on a day where it's probably, snowing across half the country, it was mid-70s, and we had a nice little, outdoor afternoon brunch and
nice.
Strolling around and dog park. It's a gorgeous place to live.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so let's get into your career in music. So before we talk about your project that you're currently promoting, just kind of give my listeners a quick synopsis about how it was you got into making music and how long ago it was. Kind of paint us a picture.
Yeah, sure thing. I've been a recording artist for other projects, not my own solo project, but I've been recording on other projects since I was 11 years old.
Wow.
I got cast as the voice of Mitzi Mozzarella for Showbiz Pizza Places nationally when I was 11. So I was in the recording studio every week making show tapes that would go into all the show businesses around the country. And then in my 20s, I got into a group. We founded a group with my husband called Toxic Audio, along with three other partners. And we've done 5 albums. And we were kind of the pioneers of contemporary a cappella, along with a few other groups, pre-Pentatonix. We were doing all the crazy noises with your voice,
wow,
instruments and all that good stuff. So I've done 5 albums, won a Drama Desk, been nominated for a Grammy, but all with my group, Toxic Audio. And then my husband and I have an entertainment company, and we started creating shows for other people and theme parks and corporations and... So I do a lot of arranging and recording with my company.
Yep.
We created the show for Harry Potter Land at Universal.
Okay, I got to jump in.
There.
I got to jump
amongst
in.
The other things.
I got to jump in because you just like answered like 3 of my or 4 of my future questions. So let me just hold you up, right? Because you have a really impressive resume, and I'm going to touch on all those things as we go through. And you just started firing them off. I'm like, I got to shut her down because I want to touch on all these a little bit more in depth as we go along. So that's awesome. So one thing I'm curious about. So you were 11 when you started. So when you were 10, years old, I want to know like what was the trigger that transitioned you from a 10-year-old into an 11-year-old person making music.
I was making music from the time I could walk.
Ah.
My parents were professional singers. That's the little trick I had up my sleeve.
Gotcha.
My parents were they went back and forth between playing pop venues and doing gospel music, so they would bring me along with them to their gigs. And literally from the time I could talk, they would hand me a microphone.
Oh, okay.
So by the time my showbiz gig rolled around, I was doing live shows already with them. And they would sometimes even find me like a little bit of money as the third person, and they would pay me to do a trio. But then they had me learn how to play drums, and I also played piano and keyboard, but my mom played keyboard.
Okay.
And my dad played guitar, and they're like, if we're going to really be a trio and charge people for a trio, we need you to be a drummer.
Wow.
So I actually learned drums as a kid, too, just so I could be in on their trio. But it's really cute because I would set up my drums and and work really hard. And then by the end of the gig, I would be so tired that I would pay them back half my money to tear down my drums.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. You know what's really awesome? You had such great natural supports as far as musically and family.
Whereas most people don't think it's something that you can do for a living unless your name is in lights and unless you're on the cover of magazines and all that good stuff. Like, most people think if you're not famous that you can't really make a living in music.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could make a living doing anything else.
Oh, yeah, see?
Because my parents growing up were professional musicians. So I knew the gig culture and playing hotels and conventions and all that at a really young age. And I even had, they had a gospel album. And so what after church services, they would pay me $1 an album to sell their album for them.
Hmm.
And they were wanting to charge $7 at the time.
Wow.
But I happen to know that records in the record store were $8. So I started charging $8 and keeping $2.
That's awesome.
But this is when I was like 9 years old.
So yeah.
I was trying to work the business.
Yeah, you're like, we're gonna get fair market value, darn it.
Exactly.
I love it.
You know your worth, guys.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now, before I want to talk about Five Decades, your current album, you touched on it a few minutes ago about Toxic Audio, and I want to know a little bit more about that group. This is your turn to really get in there and give me a little more meat on that now, on Toxic Audio. Tell me more about that group.
Back in 98, there was a festival. There still is a festival every year here in Orlando called the Orlando French Festival. And it's where people come internationally and they kind of showcase things that you wouldn't see, like from, you know, Broadway shows and theater book shows that are already put together. They bring original theater together. So my colleagues and I from Sing and Doo-Wop at Universal for several years wanted to do something kind of different and cutting edge with the human voice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys in my doo-wop group was like, hey, let's do something kind of like Blue Man Group or Stomp, but with the human voice. So it was supposed to be a 2-week theater festival, and then Disney saw it and loved it and asked us to open for their Beauty and the Beast show with Toxic Audio. So we got a contract at Disney, and next thing you know, we're getting asked to do like theater shows and concert stages and you know, recording albums. So we still gig together whenever we can, and it's 23 years
old. Wow.
Next month will be 23 years that the group's been singing together, and we do everything from jazz to pop to rock to even funny theatrical things, like if you could think of almost like a Second City sketch comedy.
Yeah.
We do sketch comedy, but a cappella.
So we had
a 90-minute theater show we did off-Broadway, and we won the Drama Desk Award, which is the highest award you can get as an off-Broadway show. And the category is really cool. It's a unique theatrical experience, which is the same category that Blue Man Group and Stomp won. And so that was kind of fun that we modeled ourselves after wanting to do something similar but with the voice.
Yeah.
And we ended up winning the same award they got.
See, that's
and
amazing.
And then we got a chance to do a cast recording with several celebrities for the Broadway musical Hair. We did a Broadway show at the Lion King stage on a dark night on a Monday night. They did a huge concert, which was Hair in concert, and we did a soundtrack for it, and it was actually nominated for a Grammy.
That's crazy.
And I had the lead vocal on that track. So
do you get that? Do you get that credit as a Grammy nominated artist?
We sure do.
That is fantastic.
We sure do.
Wow, very impressive. That's something you should be proud of.
Yeah, so we've been in the industry, and I've been in the industry for many years, but I'd never recorded a solo project until this year.
Yeah, so that's a great segue. So, and I do want to touch a little bit more about your entertainment company or your production company called Entertainment Central, and we'll get on that in just a little bit. But let's talk more about Five Decades. Now, I read your bio, and I know why the title's called Five Decades, but my listeners don't. So let's talk about the title of it, and then we'll get into some of the singles on the record.
Okay, great. Let me get into it real quick. So my husband had a huge 50th birthday party in January of 2020.
Okay.
And I made the mistake of calling it the party to end all parties because shortly after that, there were no more parties. But the morning after his party, he said, "Hey, babe, you're turning 50 in November. Do you want a big party like I just had? Like, what can I do for you?" And I said, "No." And it just like, bing, like a light bulb. I said, "I want an album."
Ah.
And it hadn't really occurred to me before that, but I said, for my 50th birthday, I've never gotten to do a solo album. So instead of a party, I want to do an album. And we kind of started brainstorming it. And as I was saying it, it was coming to life for me. And I said, I want to do cover tunes, but with a twist. Songs that have meant something to me over every decade of my life and have every single decade and my life at that time represented in song. And then I did put one original on it as well from the 90s, which is kind of fun because I wrote it for my husband before he was my husband.
Mm.
And when he was, we were unrequited love at the time that I wrote it. So it's kind of a neat representation of the 90s for me as we cruise through that decade too. But it's really fun because every decade is represented, starting with It's Too Late, which was, it came out when I was 6 months old by the fabulous Carole King. And then all the way until 2014, I did Michael Jackson's Love Never Felt So Good. And we included my whole family in that track because all my kids are adults and they're all performers as well.
So that's the last track on the record, right?
They all guest star on that track. They have little cameos.
Which is really cool. That's actually another question because I wanted you to talk about the last track, and it's the last track on the album, you incorporated your family. I think that's really neat. This is really the first time I've ever heard anybody do that before.
The way that started was my son is a guitarist. He just graduated from NYU, and he's a singer and an actor and a guitarist. And he did a version of Love Never Felt So Good when it was first out, and it was kind of bossa nova style.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it at his high school concert. And the way he played guitar, it was just kind of this cool groove and just, you know, this acoustic hang, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. I was like, "Julian, would you play on my album?" So he was playing guitar and doing some vocal percussion, beatboxing on it. And then my younger son came up and he was like, "Hey, I wrote a verse for it. You mind?
Mm-hmm.
Can I show it to you?" So he wrote like a little spoken word rap. And then by that time I was like, well, the daughter's got to get in on it. But it's funny, it's our family joke that she's the black sheep of the family because she's a doctor.
Oh, wow.
So she actually is about to go into residency this spring.
God bless.
So,
that's great.
She made it through med school.
Good for her. Congrats to her. That's quite an accomplishment.
Sings, yep. She's the family rebel. So she sings a couple of lines on it as well. And then, of course, my husband and I met singing together, and he's a great pro singer that sings with me in all, you know, a lot of configurations that I have performed and recorded in over the years. So he jumps in and does some duet stuff with me as well. So the whole family gets in on it. And it was cool because I did a very small CD release party with just family and the musicians that played on the album and a few friends.
Yeah.
And we all got up and did it live.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I have a quick NYU story. You want to hear a quick NYU story?
Yeah.
So I was on a plane. I was flying from Jackson, Mississippi to Los Angeles, California. And this is several years ago. And we had to stop in Houston for a layover and take on some new passengers and let some passengers off. So I was going all the way to LA, so I just sat in my seat and waited. So on came this group, and it was about five of them, and two in this five-person group sat next to me. One sat next to me right to my left. He was a young African-American, late teens, early 20s maybe, or something like that. And then the three other sat to my right across the aisle, and they took those three empty seats to my right. So the young man to my left, once the plane took off, we just started talking. And you know how small talk is on planes, you know, how you doing, where you're from, you know, where you headed. And he told me he was with an improv comedy group called Derek Comedy. And they were flying to Los Angeles to pitch a script, a movie script that they were working on. And they're from NYU. They're NYU students.
I'll bet I know who this is. Keep going.
Do you know who it is?
Was it Donald Glover?
It was Donald Glover. It was Donald Glover.
My son actually wrote he wrote his, I didn't mean to blow your story, but it's so cool because I was just bubbling the whole time because he actually wrote his entrance essay on, like, why do you want NYU and what you see for yourself in the future.
Yeah.
He wrote it on Donald Glover.
That's so awesome.
Because he's a musician, a singer, a writer, and an actor, and he's like, I want to be a Renaissance man like Donald Glover. And
yes. Isn't that awesome? So what's really cool...
Did he tell you what show? Was it Community or what
show? Well, I'll tell you what happened. So he was just telling me about their improv group and such and such and this. So anyway, so we had a nice chat, and so when the plane landed, we shook hands and I wished him luck, and I said, you know, I hope you do well with it. So anyway, so several years later, and I can't remember how many years, but it was a pretty good chunk of years later, I was with the girl I was dating at the time, and we were at the movie theater, and I'm watching this movie called The Lazarus Effect. And it's a thriller. It was a thriller-type movie. And so I see this African-American actor, and I'm, like, trying. I'm like, wow, where do I know that guy from? It's like, I'm trying to connect this. And it was bothering me the whole film, almost to a level where I wasn't enjoying the film anymore because I was, like, trying to figure out where I knew this guy from. So, you know, I told Shannon, the girl I was with, so, you know what, when this film's over with, we're not going anywhere. I'm going to wait till all those credits go up that screen and see if it jarred my memory. And sure enough, when I saw Donald Glover, I was like, holy crap. But that's the guy that sat, the kid that sat next to me on the plane. And then I told her, I was so happy. I was so happy. I was like, I think he made it. I was like, he made it. That is so awesome. You know? So anyway, that's my NYU story.
It's such a huge way, too, because he's Childish Gambino.
Oh, like, my God. He's got, like, billions of his song got, like, literally, like, billions of listens.
Oh, yeah. It won a lot of awards. I think it won Grammy, the latest album.
Yeah.
So that's, he's quite an illuminary from NYU. And my kid got to be in Tisch School of the Arts, also where he went.
Yeah.
He's had a really, really cool New York experience, and he still lives there. He lives in Brooklyn.
Nice.
As an actor. And he's back and forth because Florida actually has more acting work right now than New York does, but he does guitar gigs up there a lot. So, it's kind of pays off to be a jack of all trades.
Yeah, for sure.
Which a lot of us in my family are.
Yeah.
But it was cool because we all got to play on that last track and be part of the album. And it's fun because the inside of my album is a scrapbook of my life. Starting with me as an infant playing piano.
Wow.
There's a really cute picture of me playing piano as a one-year-old. And then it goes all the way through a family portrait of us last year.
I love it.
And it has Toxic Audio pictures. It has pictures of me singing doo-wop with my husband at Mel's Drive-In at Universal Studios, which I opened Universal Orlando as the doo-wop singer when I was a teenager. So. Oh. It has all kinds of fun stuff in it, and it's basically a celebration of the 70s through today. And we didn't have another theme other than that, except for what a theme kind of emerged as we were making the album and realized every song is about love.
Yes, that's awesome. There's,
you know, it's love, love lost, family love, love and romantic love, all kinds of love. Even the song Love by Sugarland is on it, which is about love across all understandings of love.
Yeah.
So it kind of ended up being five decades of love, baby.
I love it. I love that. And I love the thought process. You don't just like write a song. You have like real meaning behind and you like strategy and you really think things through, which I think is really cool. Things that have meaning and purpose and I love that.
Well, to me it's important, and I think sometimes we lose this nowadays, but to connect to the words, and like all of us in our human experience have emotions that we go through, and I think you really need to connect to the words when you're singing and when you're writing music. And so what I'm hoping people get out of this album is emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it moves people. It certainly moves me even when I perform a lot of these songs live.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the songs on this album I have performed live over the years, so it was fun to be able to capture them on album, on the album. But to me it's all about connecting to words and emotion.
Yeah. Now, I also read that you collaborated with some other musicians, and you did it remotely, which is obviously it's the way the world spins now with COVID. Talk more a little bit about how that you know, was there any challenges doing it remotely?
Well, we own an entertainment company, and so when the pandemic hit, I knew and I even felt responsible for helping people in the community of performers, especially here in Central Florida, because it went from being a very vibrant scene to just like people sitting in their homes.
Yeah, like unemployed.
Going, what is my purpose?
Right.
You know? And I knew that that was such a struggle out there. So that was, I had not recorded a single note until the shutdowns happened, and I was like, oh man, this is my cue.
Yeah.
This is when we can come to life here. So I reached out to over 20 musicians.
Nice.
Over the course of a couple of months, and we did it really layer by layer. I would say, hey Ben, can you put guitar down for me on this song? This is kind of what I'm thinking and feeling. And I would give them a tempo and a groove and a key and all that, and then I would take the track and I would kick it over to somebody else and say, hey, can you play bass? Kick it over. I'm feeling the trumpet on this one. And basically, that's how it worked. We collected track by track, layer by layer, and we'd send somebody the session in Pro Tools, and you gotta love technology. But we would send people the session, and some of these musicians that played the tracks together have never even met.
Isn't that great?
Which is really fun.
Yeah.
Some of them met at my CD release, but
yeah.
But a lot of them had never met until then. And we even had a couple of musicians out of state that worked on it, that we kicked it over to. And one of them, it really worked out great, because I was at a standstill with my original song, The Best Love I Never Had, which is when I was talking about, represents the 90s. Well, I knew it fit into the album, and I knew I wanted it, but arrangement-wise, I just couldn't get a handle on who I wanted to play it, and I was kind of in a rut because I was always playing it on piano for live gigs, and I just didn't know how I wanted to record it. And my dad turns to me, and he goes, hey, why don't you call our old family friend, Tim Akers? He is, you know, sure, he usually is on tour as the band leader for Rascal Flatts or for Amy Grant and Vince Gill, but yeah. I think he's probably sitting at home, too, right now.
Yeah.
And so I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And I called him. I was like, you probably don't want to touch this. And, you know, I know that my parents grew up with your parents and everything, and I know that this is probably not in your league right now, but this is my project, and this is what I'm doing. And the next day, I had the most beautiful piano and keyboard track I could have ever imagined.
Oh, my
God. With some fun twists musically that I had not envisioned. I had just sent them over a demo, and literally within a couple of days, I had just this incredible track to build on. And
so he actually made that track for you.
For the Nashville people out there, they'll know who he is, because he's definitely a staple in the Nashville music scene. And I was lucky enough to get him on my album.
That is amazing. I can't believe. Well, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I'm guessing you were probably surprised that he took the offer and turned it around so quick.
Yeah, he really did. He was excited about it, and our families have known each other since even before I was born.
Wow. There are
a couple generations of the Akers and the Sloans that have all been pals. And so it was such a compliment, and he was really excited about the song and really loved it and had a great vision for it. So I was fortunate enough to get him on the album, and one thing that it kind of brings to my attention about it is if you're a musician out there or a performer, you just never know who in your circle and in your sphere is going to come in handy.
Mm.
Because some of the musicians, like, he's like a world-class, you know, musician, studio musician that is playing on it. There are other people on it that I've actually been their boss. They're in their 20s, and they performed for me, you know, on gigs and on projects before, and I'm their boss, and that's kind of my role in their life until this album. And then there are other people that I've done studio sessions with, or that have called me on sessions since I was in my teens, that are also on the album. A guy named Randy Nichols produced a couple of the instrumental tracks, like Uninvited and Use Somebody. And he's a guy that got me into the local jingle market when I was in my early 20s. And
wow.
He's more of a peer of my parents. And so you just never know in this business who you're going to need and who you're going to be able to collaborate with. So it's good to keep friends and make friends.
Yeah. It's really important not to burn bridges. That's what I was thinking while you were telling me that. It's so
exactly.
important not to.
That's always my advice, because you never know what yeah. role that person's going to play in your life or when you're going to need them down the road, especially yep. if you're wanting to do this for a while.
Absolutely. I also, when I was reading up on you, it was important for you with this record to inspire women. So tell me more about that.
As a female singer, I've been in a lot of dressing rooms and, you know, brunch chats with other female singers that they feel like at a certain age, either your marketability goes away or really even the conversations I've heard is that your voice isn't as good as it used to be or that you don't have the chops you used to have. And coming into this year in particular, I felt like, well, gosh, I've never really sung better than I've sung this year. Like, I feel like I sing better than I did in my 20s and 30s because I connect even more to the music. I'm more passionate about it. And as far as flexibility and chops, lifestyle-wise, I've lived pretty well, pretty clean. And so I can still sing as high as I used to sing, if not higher. Mm. And I can sing lower than I used to sing. So I have more range, more strength of tone. So I just feel like it's misleading and it's a bad standard to buy into say that you have to go downhill vocally after a certain age or that you can't pursue the things that you want to do and you can't pursue your dreams after a certain age because your goals and your dreams don't have to have an expiration date. And so this album is kind of a love letter to women out there and especially women artists, female artists, that I made my first solo album at 50. And it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm singing really well on it. So I just wanted it to be an encouragement and to let female artists know that it's never too late.
I love that. That's great, man. Look, I'm blowing through my notes here. Before I let you go, of course, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell everybody where they can get your music and where they can follow you. But before I do that, is there anything that I missed that you want to get out there that I haven't asked you about on your record, on your project?
No, I actually think we kind of hit a lot of great things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Maybe one thing.
Okay.
There is one thing I would say.
Yep, let's do it.
I've always said that I love all kinds of music as long as it's done really well.
Uh-huh.
And what you'll see if you look at the titles and look at even some of the original artists on this, it runs the gamut from pop to rock, to country, all kinds of music, and I even turn things on its head, like a Madonna song becomes country with a fiddle.
I love it.
But yeah. With a fiddle. I do Alanis Morissette's Uninvited, I do Skyfall, I do Olivia Newton-John.
Wow.
And so there is something on this album for everybody.
Wow, what a really cool genre. I mean, a mix of genre.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah, it's more set with all kinds of music in it and all styles. So if you come in with an open mind, you will find something you like on this album.
Yeah. You know, I heard Miley Cyrus sing Jolene for the first time not too long ago. I'm blown away how good that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just blown away.
It's her godmother.
Yeah. But I knew Miley Cyrus was, you know, she was good in her, you know, in her wheelhouse and her type thing, but I never knew she could sing country that good. I mean, she was really good. I was blown away how good that was.
She does a great job with country.
Yep. All right, so let's do this. Let's tell everybody out there where they can follow you on social media. If you have a website, you can talk about that. And anything else, the mic is yours.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Shalisa James. My album is called Shalisa, 5 Decades. And it's available on iTunes, on Spotify, on Apple Music, on Amazon Music. You can get a hard copy of it on Amazon Music. Or you can write me at shalisajames.com, and I'll even give you a signed, autographed copy of my CD.
I love it. What about social media? Do you have Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff?
Yeah, Shalisa Sloan James on Insta, Shalisa James, and also Diva Life, where I blog, on Facebook. And I'm Shalisa James 1 on Twitter, but I don't do the Twitter thing as much as I do. I like pictures, so I'm an Insta gal.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I really, really enjoy talking to you. You're just a marvelous person. I mean, and you have such an impressive resume, too. I really, when I was reading your bio, I was like, wow, this is going to be fun. I just love First of all, I love when I see people succeeding at things, and it just gets me excited when I see somebody being passionate about what they do and having fun. And I'm a little bit, I'm just a few years older than you, but I'm definitely, I'm 55, so whenever somebody's in my age bracket and they're doing their thing, I even get more excited. So, good for you.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, yeah, go on. And especially, you know, it's inspiring if they're still killing it and they're at the peak of their game and it's not just a novelty, but they're actually really bringing it.
Right, exactly.
That's awesome.
All right, well, look, I had a lot of fun talking to you, and I want to get you back on. So you come back on whenever you want to come back, whenever you got something new to talk about, okay?
Yeah, I'd love it. Thanks so much for the chat. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.